My reason for being here is to work with this local congregation to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about our work as those who are workers together with God. Paul makes that statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you also, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. There's also a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 beginning, where Paul asks the question, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, you're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, other buildeth their own. Let every man take heed how he buildeth their own, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is indeed work involved in salvation. James chapter 2 says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have no work, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, give not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There is indeed work involved in our being saved from sin and being saved eternally with God. Faith and works. There must be both. One cannot avail without the other. We need to follow the example of Israel a long time ago when they built the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 6. The text says, so built we the wall, and all the wall were joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. They were distracted and had many conflicts. You can read the account there in Nehemiah, how they were hindered, or the nations around them tried their best to hinder them, and at times they had to work even with a sword in one hand and the stones and the mortar and what have you, and building the wall in the other hand. This is because they had a mind to work. They finished as a result of their determination to build the walls. Workers together with God. Scripture commands us that we are indeed to work. We must work God's work, and we must work God's work now. There's a sense of urgency. John chapter 9, verse 4, when Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's a time when we need to be working, because there's coming a time when we'll be unable to work. We need to follow Solomon's advice. Work with all our might, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. There's coming a time when we'll not be able to work. But while we're here, we need to be working with our might. Whatever needs doing, be willing to do it. We need to work with all the ability that we have. We'll not take the time to turn to Matthew chapter 25. There's a number of verses there, verses 14 through 30, that illustrates this very principle. The master gave a sum of money to his servants, And they were expected to use that which the master had given them. The master came back and there was a reckoning. One was given 5 talents, another 2 talents, another 1 talent. When the master came back, the one that received 5 talents said he had gained 5 other talents. So it was with the one who received 2 talents. He gained 2 other talents. The one who received 1 talent said, I know you were a hard man, reaping where you hadn't sown and gathering where you hadn't strawed. So I hid your talent in the earth. And so here's what you gave me. You remember the text referred to him as a wicked and slothful servant. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers. Then in my coming, I might receive mine own with interest. Whatever ability we have, and remember these talents, represents a sum of money that were given to these servants. But this sum of money was given according to their several ability. Many people equate the talents with ability. We use that word sometimes in our society today referring to ability. People have a talent to play music, or they have a talent for baseball or basketball, whatever the case may be. Well, that's not the way the word talent is used here. It was a sum of money that they were entrusted with. But it was given to them according to the ability that they had to use it. And this illustrates the point that many have more ability than others do. But whatever ability we have, we're required to use that ability. And as we're working together with God, not against Him. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, we therefore as workers together with Him. We're not working by ourselves. We're working with the master builder, the one who created the very universe in which we live. So we are workers together with Him. In this particular work, Paul said, we haven't received the grace of God in vain. That indicates that if we're not workers with Him, then we have indeed received the grace of God in vain. That means God's grace is worthless to us. It's not going to avail us anything. God's grace was extended to mankind, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God extended His grace, His mercy to the entire world. As Brother Bruce pointed out in our Bible study, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3, verse 16. That's God's grace He extended to mankind. But unless I'm willing to work with Him, as far as I'm concerned, that grace that God extended is worthless. You see, there's no neutrality in this work. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You have to be working with the Lord, or else you are against Him. People don't like the idea of thinking that they're against the Lord, but if you're not gathering with Him, then you're scattering abroad. You're not sowing seed, good seed, and good and honest hearts. You're throwing it out on the wayside, where the devil comes and takes it away, as Jesus illustrated in the parable of the sower. Understand that teaching men's doctrine is vain, according to Matthew chapter 15 to verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. We can be working, doing a lot of religious things, but what we're doing is useless. It's worthless. In fact, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. The blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Whatever is of human origin, if it's not from the Word of God, it's of human origin, it's going to be rooted up. You remember the parable of the tares that Jesus related. Man sowed good seed in his field, and while the servant slept, the enemy came and sowed tares in among the wheat. And the servant asked the master, "Shall we go in and pull the tares up?" He said, "Not so, let them grow together." Then at harvest, you gather the tares and throw them in the fire and gather wheat into my barn. There's a separation between the plants that are not of divine origin and those of human origin. They may grow together in this world and they may all look very similar. I'm told that tares look a whole lot like wheat, what the Bible refers to as the tares. But there's a difference. One's good, the other's not. Paul makes a statement that he was once a worker against God in Acts chapter 26, verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. But then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he describes what he was before. But then there was a change that took place. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul was a blasphemer. He was injurious to Christians, a persecutor of those who called on the name of the Lord. But he obtained mercy. We have the same mercy available to us today if we're willing to conform our life to his will. Notice what Paul said, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." Paul thought he was doing what was right. He said, "I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." And there are many in this world who have a clear, clean conscience. They think they're doing right, but they're in the same boat that Paul was. We need to change our lives and quit working for ourselves, quit planting plants that are of human origin, and begin working with God, not against Him. At the same time, we are to work together. It's what wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Here is a record of individuals who were working together. Paul said, "I planted." Then Apollos came along and he watered. We are compared to babes in Christ in Hebrews. The fact that these Hebrew Christians had not advanced to the point that they were able to be teachers. He said, "When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need to one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and come such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." The strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We as children of God must mature. And as we grow and develop, we receive help along the way. But notice what Paul continues in verse 7. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God to give it the increase." And so as we help each other along the way, we need to recognize that we're really not anything. We're just a field worker. We're just hoeing, cutting grass so the plants can thrive and they can develop and become what they need to be. So we're helping each other, working together. This work involves edifying the saints, relieving the needy saints, teaching the lost. As you go on over into Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." There's a threefold work of the Lord's church. It takes workers, but it takes God to give the increase. Notice verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "For we are laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry. That word husbandry simply means farmers, field workers. "You are God's building." We are workers in the vineyard of the Lord. And he said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth their own. We don't take credit for what we are doing. We give the credit to God. And then if we are deserving of any reward, any credit, then God will be the one who will reward us. As Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do your alms in secret, and the Lord who sees in secret will reward you openly. We don't need to be patting ourselves on the back and saying, look what look what I'm doing. We're all in this together. We're working. We need to be involved in work to edify, to build up the members of the body of Christ. That involves our being regular in our worship assembly. We build each other up as we worship together. We sing songs of praise as we teach and admonish one another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're involved in publishing a weekly bulletin. It's for your edification and my edification. We have these Bible study classes such as Brother Bruce taught here this morning. We're involved in worship on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. We have Wednesday evening Bible study. All of these are efforts that we're putting forth to teach the will of the Lord. We just completed the gospel meeting. A gospel preacher presenting lessons needed for our edification. And so we, as workers together with God, we must be involved in helping each other to be the kind of people that we ought to be. We have a teaching bulletin that is inserted in the newspaper on a quarterly basis. This last one had an advertisement for our meeting, but there's also an article on the back that's designed as a teaching medium for those who may not be Christians. And this particular effort is designed particularly for those who are in the world. Our bulletin that's published here on a weekly basis designed primarily for those of us who are members of the body of Christ to edify and to build us up. For some time, we were involved in a program on television for about 2 years or so in an effort to reach the lost. We have an ad in the newspaper for a Bible correspondence course. We have various ones in the congregation who are involved in home Bible studies. There are ongoing Bible studies for a good long period of time. This congregation is involved in supporting gospel preachers in other places. Some far away from here, some nearby. That's our effort to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, working together with God. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now I beseech you, he begged the Corinthians at Corinth, by the name or by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. We need to make sure that we are all, as we say in the common vernacular, we're all on the same page. We all recognize what our purpose is here as a local congregation of God's people. Not only to edify and build one another up, to strengthen each other, to help our faith to grow and our love for each other to grow. Our love, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, the depth of God's love was demonstrated in the giving of His Son. He allowed His Son to leave the glories of heaven, as Paul writes in Philippians, to give up His position in heaven and come to this world as a human being. Yes, he was divine. He maintained the form of God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. He did that so that he could be a sacrifice for you and me and everybody in the whole world. That's God's love. That's the depth of God's love for us. The same man, the same judgment. All are willing to do what they can in all areas of the work here in this location. That's what we're all about as a congregation of God's people. We are indeed of one accord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul said to the church there at Philippi, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. One accord. The same mind. One mind. In order for us to accomplish the work that needs to be done in this location, in any congregation, wherever they may be, to accomplish the work in that given location. And we read in Scripture about churches in many different locations. The church of God, which is Corinth, the church of Philippi, the churches of Galatia, the seven churches of Asia. There were local congregations that were scattered all throughout the country. As Paul went to Rome, he found brethren there. The Lord's church had been planted there in the city of Rome. As the Ethiopian was converted, he went back to his home. And even though the text does not say, it said he went on his way rejoicing, I think we can safely assume that he started a local congregation there in his home. That he taught others. Because he was interested in spiritual things. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah as he was journeying. And the thing that impresses me about this is that he was on his way going home from worship. He'd already been to worship. He'd already heard the scriptures read. He'd engaged in various acts of worship. Now he's on his way home. He's still reading the Bible. I think about that sometimes. We leave this building, we leave our worship assembly, and we go about our daily activities. We go out to eat, or we go home and we fix a meal, and we sit down to eat, and about the first thing we do is turn on television. Watch something that we enjoy watching. And it certainly may not be sinful in and of itself, what we're watching on TV, but how interested are we in our spiritual well-being and our knowledge of God's Word? How much time do we actually spend with the Word of God? As Paul said, that there was no division among them to the Corinthians. And as our Lord said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus knew the thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We all have to be united, teaching the same thing, no division, or else we can't stand. We will not continue to be a local congregation of God's people if there's division, if there's dissension among the group of saints that meet here at this place. And I'm thankful that, as far as I know, there is no dissension among the Lord's people that meet regularly here together. They were all at least doing something in our effort to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we give on the first day of the week, much of this money is used in an effort to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the work that's accomplished here is toward that goal. But it don't stop. We can't slow down. We have to continue to do more and more. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Continue to do more and more as we have opportunity and ability. The word abounding means overflowing or running over in the Lord's work. Workers together with God. That's who we are. That's what we are. Workers. But not on our own. We're working with God. And as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to verse 58, we are to be steadfast, unmovable. We can't allow the various winds of doctrine, the various movements of society in which we live to keep us from our task. We have a God-given work, but the world is all about doing its best to hinder us from our work, just as the people of Nehemiah's day. Those nations around them were doing their best to hinder them. They said, come over here to the plains of Ono and sit down and we'll have a conference together here. Nehemiah said, we can't leave this work. It's too important. We can't give over to the whims and wishes of the world and leave our work as children of God. And as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, but let every man prove his own work. The word prove means put to the test, his own work. That says something to us as individuals. I have a work that's mine, and you have a work that's yours. Yes, we're working together, as we say, as a team. But just like football is very common in this area, basketball, very common. But each participant on that team has their own particular function. If everybody on the team was a quarterback, how far would they get? If there's nobody for the quarterback to throw the ball to, where would they go? We understand that's the point that Jesus made there in Matthew chapter 25. Each one have their own abilities. Each one is to prove or put to the test their own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Does that mean that I can't rejoice with you in the work that you're doing? Not necessarily. But what it means is that I'm not going to get my reward based on what you're doing. And you're not going to get your reward based on what I'm doing. Each one has their own responsibility as workers together with God. And we're each rewarded for our own work, not what someone else did. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We all understand this principle in the material realm. Many have gardens, or at least have plants that they have planted and nurtured to produce fruit for their own consumption and maybe to give to others as they have abundance. We understand that if we want to eat watermelons, we've got to plant some watermelon seed. If we want tomatoes, we've got to have tomato seed. We understand that principle very, very well. And what Paul said, we're going to reap what we sow. And as you think about that, understand that I'm not going to reap what others sow in the spiritual realm. What I sow, the Lord's going to reward me for my work. He's going to reward you for your work. We can't work by proxy. I can't do your work for me, for you, and you can't do my work for me. It's an individual thing. We then, as workers, together with God, we understand the idea in order to get out of something, we need to put something in it. Because we cannot get out of something more than what we put in it. If we expect to be the Lord's people here at Eastside that we ought to be, we've got to be involved in doing the Lord's will on His terms, working together with Him in His vineyard. Now the question arises, am I doing the Lord's work? Am I using the ability that I have, that God has given to me? Am I using that in His work? And am I working together with others who have the same commitment to doing the Lord's work? Only by doing this will we continue to prosper, to grow, as the Lord's people here in this location. So we need to all examine ourselves and see if I am indeed doing the work that I'm capable of doing. And I freely admit that there are times when I look at my own life and I realize there are things that I probably could be doing that I'm not doing. As we get older, there are things that we are not able to do like we could when we were younger. I understand that. But at the same time, there are things that we can do now that we might not have been able to do then as a result of our growth and maturity. So each one of us needs to be examining ourselves and see, am I working together with God in harmony with the ability that God has given to me? Am I using that which He's given me to the very extent of the ability that's mine? It may be that there are those in the audience this morning that realize that they are not a part of the family of God. You're not a Christian, a child of God. If that's the case, you can become one before this day is through. If you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, you're willing to confess your faith in Him, having repented of your sins, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord then will add you to His church. You'll be a part of His family. You'll be a worker in His vineyard. And you can go on to work just as much as you're capable of doing. If you are a part of this local congregation, you're a Christian, and you realize you haven't been working like you should, you need to change. You need to rededicate your efforts to serve the Lord to the fullest extent of your ability. If there's something in your life that needs to be confessed publicly, Brother Randy did already this morning, something that you need to make this congregation aware of, you can use this opportunity to do that. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, the Scripture says. And so you can do that. If you need to, why not do so as together we stand and sing for encouragement.